fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I'm delighted to be able to present to you this morning. My lovely wife is with me today, and this week we're going to talk about a mission that she's been spearheading over the last 30 years in some ways, and an outreach toward young women, dynamic outreach that I think could be a great source of encouragement to you. You know, these are challenging times, and bringing the gospel to the next generation is particularly difficult and particularly challenging. So I think Debbie will have some encouraging words and some genuine insight for you. Welcome, Deb.
Good morning, Peter.
When was the last time you were on the show?
I don't know. It's been a while. I think I shared my personal testimony a number of years ago on the show, but it's been a while.
It has. Well, we're glad to have you here.
Thanks.
All right. So tell our listeners about the Be Love Revolution. What are we talking about?
Well, the Be Love Revolution is a ministry that's geared toward young women. We're trying to target high school women, but in doing so, we really have women, young women of a lot of different ages involved with it and making it happen. And so it really is a ministry that begins in junior high with a camp called Pine Hills Camp. And then the follow-up to that is a high school program for 9th through 12th grade girls. But helping with that ministry are many college girls, post-college young adult women. And so the continuum really runs through. We've got young adult women who are helping, who are newly married, who have new babies. And so they just get on board and they stay on board because they feel so committed to one another and to the mission.
How did it all start?
Well, I think we have to go back really to Pine Hills Camp. And we just finished 2 weeks ago a dynamic week together of almost 300 young women joining together. It was my 32nd year of directing the camp. And it really began many years ago with an inspiration and a vision to really create a culture and an environment where young women, junior high age, could come together and really meet and encounter Jesus. To do it in an environment that felt safe and secure, that was loving, accepting, where I would say the peer culture was really moving toward the Lord rather than away from it. So many times our kids are in environments where they have to swim upstream, which is really heroic when they're able to do it, but really difficult at the same time. And I began to think, why not create a culture where they're not swimming upstream all the time, where they're really kind of running together in the Lord, where everything around them, even if it's just beginning with that 1 week, says, this is good, this is right, you are worth it, you are valuable, you are enough. And so we began to create that culture. And as you know, it takes quite a while to create a culture. And so now, you know, 30 plus years later, looking back and saying, wow, that culture really is firmly in place. Pine Hills Camp is a week-long camp for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade girls where they can really come and encounter the love of the Lord in a very experiential way in the power of the Holy Spirit. But they also know each moment of each day they're there that they're loved, that they're beautiful, that they're valuable. And so the idea to continue that culture really began 4 years ago at Pine Hills Camp, and really an inspiration to bring this to high school girls as well.
What did that look like, a transition?
Well, I'd say the moment kind of when it all came together was a really beautiful moment for me, and that was being together at Pine Hills 4 years ago in a big tent with lights and music, and we had just had a tremendous time of praise and worship together. And these girls were just so clearly for one another and so clearly confident in who they were. Junior high girls, high school girls who were there serving, college girls, post-college girls. And I just felt like the Lord said to me, not in an audible voice, but in my spirit, I sensed that if each young woman who was there went out from that camp, from that tent, with the love of the Lord in their hearts and touched one person at a time, we could change the world. We could start a revolution. Hence the name, the Be Love Revolution, was really the sense of, we don't want to just put on events. We want these young women to feel like they're part of a movement of God's love, where they're learning how to receive Him. And we have three things that we go by in our mission statement, and that is to be His, and that's the conversion piece. Like, you cannot be loved to anyone else if you yourself don't know that you are loved. And so be his, meet him, meet Jesus, begin to know his great love for you. And then the second one is be free. And that is to be free of the lies of the world, the way the world tells you that you have to be a particular thing, that your identity is based in the things of this world, and to really come to know who you are as a daughter of Christ, and to really be free to live in the fullness of that identity as a daughter. And then lastly, be love, to really go out into the world and to be God's love. And I don't mean like the world, like as far-reaching as you can think. I mean in the world God is putting you in right now, whether it's at home with your family, at school with your peers, in a job, the people that are immediately around you, to really learn how to love in very practical, simple ways to really give your life away. And our patron saint, I guess you could say, was Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa, because we really felt so much of her, the way she approached life and love was captured in the way we wanted to do this ministry as well.
Let's look at each of those one more time. So it's be his, be free, be love. And so you said the be his is like the conversion piece. So a lot of what you try to do is to help bring young people, young women to encounter the living Jesus Christ. So how does that happen? I think a lot of times parents or others just kind of feel frustrated. I don't know how to get my daughter, my son, even interested in the faith. And how do I do this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Whenever I think about the Be Love Revolution, I like to think that there's parts of what we're trying to do that are very countercultural right now. And one of the biggest things I would say is this is a relational ministry. This is meeting with girls one-on-one. It's spending time with them. It's putting our phones away. It's using social media and technology when it enhances the message, but really kind of pulling them into a world where they are connecting with others. First of all, older young women who are modeling the love of Christ, who are actually living their faith in a way that's dynamic, that's attractive, that's appealing, that's really beautiful, that a younger girl can look at and say, I might not know what it is about her, but there's something about her that she has that I want. And it's not just about the image. It's not just about kind of the externals. There's something deep down in the core of her heart that she knows what she's about, and she knows that she's beautiful. And that is an element of discipleship and living the gospel that's extremely attractive. It's modeling the faith. And so, first of all, we want to create an environment where faith is alive, where faith is the norm, where no one is ashamed of the relationship with the Lord. Yes, girls and their young women in the world, and they're fighting the temptations of the culture, but they're confident and they know who they are, and that's contagious. And so that's a tremendous way that we bring the gospel, besides just proclaiming the gospel message to these girls, but creating an environment where they know that they're loved and valued and accepted really opens their hearts to receive that message from the Lord.
How do you actually help them encounter the Lord, like right when it comes right down to it? What do you do that helps them experience his presence and understand his will and all the rest?
Well, I would say praise and worship is a big part of what we do in all our different events and things that we put on. Some of them come in and they definitely have head knowledge. They've maybe been raised in a Catholic family or go to Catholic school, and they may think they understand the faith on an intellectual level. But what we want to do is give them an experiential knowledge of the Lord's love for them. And I don't mean just like emotionally to feel God, but to really put them in the presence of the Lord through opening themselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit, through praise and worship that we do together, where they can begin to experience God's love for them, that God is real, God is accessible, God is tangible, God wants to speak into their lives and actually help them as they walk through their days.
The Be Free tagline. What are the obstacles to freedom that you're tackling all the time in terms of leading the girls, and what are you addressing? What are kind of the main battlefields the girls are facing?
Wow, there's so many. I mean, the culture nowadays is so strong. I think the whole social media scene is really, really difficult for girls especially. I know statistics show that girls spend significantly more time on social media than guys do. We just live in an image-driven society where girls are receiving and looking for their identity through images, which are very superficial and tend to be more one-dimensional. And so I'd say women in general, but young women in particular, really struggle with comparison, and they're always looking to somebody else to define them and to tell them they have value. And when you begin to look at one-dimensional things, when you begin to look at screens and other things that aren't even real to tell you who you are, that's where they get into trouble. And so we want to kind of help them see clearly what that battle is, to understand not only on a social level that there's battles, but spiritually. They have an enemy, the devil, who wants to destroy their soul, who wants to lead them down that path of self-condemnation and self-hatred and self-harm. And we want to help heal them and pull them out of those places to really understand who they are in God's sight, that they're a beloved daughter of God. And I always say to the girls, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. He loves you because he is he, not because you are you. And just to continue to get that in their heads, that their identity isn't based on what they earn, what they look like, what size clothing they wear, what they get on their SAT scores. Their identity and their value is in Christ, and that is a gift.
I think one of the things that every parent knows, and we certainly know having raised our own kids, but also your involvement in youth ministry for so many years, is that the road is very volatile. You know, it's very up and down. Talk a little bit about how the role of culture and our community can really help, knowing that navigating that those years are very difficult for kids. And sometimes they're up, other times they're down. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, and we have to take that into account as we work with young women to know that the years are volatile. Where they're at developmentally as a freshman and their emotional life is going to be very different than a senior in terms of even their ability to respond. But I think building a culture is a tremendous help because they're living in a very difficult culture for most of their days. And I think all of us as parents have this temptation. We just want to kind of keep them safely in the four walls of our home and not expose them. But the reality is it's way farther down the road than we can't control that. But we can create other environments, other cultures where our kids can hear a positive message, where they can thrive, where they can have others that run with them. And I would say for girls, one of the values of being together as all girls is that these young women actually learn how to support and befriend one another as young women. They learn how to be sisters in Christ, and they learn the value of Christ-centered friendships. And so they come in and they really encounter young women who are for them. They're not competing with one another for God's love, for one another's friendships. They really are together in this. And I think there's tremendous value and support in being able to kind of run after the Lord together.
That is very counterculture. It's surprising how intense competition among girls can be for attention, and how clicky they can be, and how catty, or how hard they can be on one another. It's really surprising at times. And that mostly just comes out of insecurity and fear and identity issues and volatility of emotion and all the change going on in their lives and the wider culture you said that they're in. So, wow, this time went by so fast. I just have a few seconds. If the folks want to know a little bit more about Beloved, what can they do? Where can they go?
They can go to our website, belovedrevolution.com, and it'll tell you all about what we're about, what kind of events we do, retreats, these nights called Beloved for young women, what our vision is. There's a little video and some photos. We're also on social media, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. You can find out a lot about what we're doing there. So yeah, those are great ways to connect with us.
Great. I've been able to watch this grow firsthand, and I'm so inspired by the kind of discipleship I'm seeing among these young women, their dedication to the church's mission, the way they love and support each other and overcome obstacles and the rest. And so, friends, we're going to talk with Deb and some of these students the rest of this week. I hope you can tune in and join us again. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.